One morning, the atmosphere in the village suddenly became tense. It wasn't clear what had caused the change, but something was about to happen. All the soldiers assembled at the village square, dressed in their uniforms, carrying their weapons and ammunition in backpacks and waist belts. Their bayonets hung by the side of their army trousers, and they stood still with their helmets under their arms. "Attention, at ease, attention, at ease," I heard the voice of the drill instructor as I walked to the river with Elijah to fetch water. When we returned, the drill instructor had stopped warming up the soldiers. Instead, Lieutenant Jabati stood in front of his men, his hands crossed behind his back. He addressed them for hours before they were released for lunch. While the lieutenant was talking to his men, we quietly went about our daily chores and at the same time tried to eavesdrop on what he was saying. But in order to hear him, we would have had to get closer and join the line of soldiers, which was out of the question. We walked about all day, quietly speculating about what the lieutenant could have told his men. In the evening, the soldiers cleaned their guns, sometimes firing a couple of rounds into the air. These random gunshots sent the younger children diving between the legs of their parents. The soldiers smoked cigarettes and marijuana. Some sat alone, while others gambled and joked with one another into the night. Some watched a movie under one of their big tents. Lieutenant Jabati sat on the veranda of his house and read a book. He would not look up, not even when his men whistled loudly at the size and sophistication of a gun in the war movie they were watching. He looked up only when it was quiet. He caught me looking at him and called me to sit with him. He was a tall man with barely any hair. His eyes were big and they complemented his full cheekbones, which looked as if he had something in his mouth. He was a quiet individual, but his quietness had a forceful authority that all his men feared and respected. His face was so dark that it took courage to have any eye contact with him. "Are you getting enough to eat here?" he asked. "Yes," I said, as I tried to look at what he was reading. "It is Shakespeare," he showed me the cover, "Julius Caesar. Have you heard of it?" "I read Julius Caesar in school," I told him. "Do you remember any of it?" he asked. "Cowards die many times before their deaths," I began. And he recited the whole speech with me. As soon as we were done, his face resumed its sternness. He ignored me and seemed to delve into his book. I watched as the veins on his forehead became transparent through his flesh and disappeared as he absorbed the contents of the book or thought about whatever else was on his mind. I tiptoed away from him as the sky exchanged sunlight for darkness. When I was 7, I used to go to the town square to recite monologues from the works of Shakespeare for the adults of my community. At the end of every week, the male adults would gather to discuss matters of the community. They sat on long wooden benches, and at the end of their discussion, I would be called upon to recite Shakespeare. My father would cough loudly to alert the other adults to be silent so that I could start. He sat in the front with his arms crossed and a big smile on his face that looked as if it would take years to fade away. I stood on a bench and held onto a long stick as my sword. I would then start with Julius Caesar. "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears." I always recited speeches from Macbeth and Julius Caesar, as those were the adults' favorites. I was always eager and excited to read for them because it made me feel that I was really good at speaking the English language. I was awake when the soldiers left in the middle of the night, the echo of their marching leaving an eerie air about the village that continued until dawn and through the rest of the day. There were 10 soldiers left behind to protect the village, and they stood at their posts all day. Just when the evening was waving its fingers, signaling night to approach, the soldiers issued a curfew by shooting a few rounds into the air and ordering everyone to get inside and stay low to the ground. That night, Musa told no stories, and Moriba didn't play marbles with the other boys. We quietly sat against the wall listening to the rapid burst of gunfire in the distance. Just before the last hours of night, the moon sailed through the clouds, showing its face through the open window of the building before it was driven away by a cockcrow.